How about that, Sugar?
Yeah. What's up, man?
Episode number 26. Coming to you of the Future Motocross Radio. I'm your host, RJ Huss. We've got our co-host, Mr. Sugar Shane.
Yes, sir.
Bringing the guns out today. Look at that, man.
Big night, lightning hockey night last night.
Yeah, lightning game going on. And scored
way too many goals.
Yeah, they sure did. Episode 26, man, brought to you guys by Premium Outdoor Products. Anybody looking for some outdoor living space stuff, Premium Outdoor Products is located in Clearmont, Florida, right off of Highway 27. They are open Monday through Saturday. You can look them up on their website, but anybody that's needing some outdoor furniture, outdoor kitchen, quality USA products for any outdoor space, any outdoor living space. So pretty cool to have them on the episode. They're also on our semi-truck, the Premium Outdoor Products guys. They came by and saw us at Red Bull Day in the Dirt. So that was cool to meet them and have them a part of it. So anybody needing any of that stuff, man, Premium Outdoor Products over in Clearmont, Florida. They've got a lot of cool things. And I was looking at the gallery of pictures of stuff they had on their website, and it's pretty neat stuff, but
I need to check that out.
Yeah.
For around my pool and everything.
No doubt. I know my wife would like to go over there and look at it. So I think here in the next week or two, we're going to head over there and check them out in Clearmont. It's not too far from us. And we've got a little space by our pool out back that she wants to have something built up over there that I know you've been talking to her about. But anybody that's looking for some outdoor furniture, outdoor grills, kitchen, they have it all. Premium Outdoor Products right there in Clearmont. And we got a guest in studio, Sugar.
We do.
We have a guest in studio here, the 242 himself, Mr. Garrett Hoffman.
Good to be here, folks.
Garrett, you're actually over in that Clearmont area right now, aren't you?
Yeah, been there for maybe 3 years or so.
There you go. But you're not always from Florida, right?
No.
Where are you from?
From Maryland.
Maryland. What part?
Harford County. It's like 45 minutes north of Baltimore.
Okay.
Right on the PA line.
Yeah, so not far from Baltimore. I mean, obviously, that's where you guys would fly in and out of. And
yep.
Travel from and stuff like that, but born up there in Baltimore. Tell me about kind of growing up. I mean, getting on a dirt bike. I mean, how was that up there? I mean, it's got to be a little bit chillier there than Florida.
Yeah, dude, it's cold. You only get to ride maybe like 7 months out of the year.
Okay,
that's why we all came down here. But I got into riding through just my family. My dad, my brother used to do it.
What was the first bike for Garrett Hoffman?
PW50.
Oh, the PW. Yeah,
I still got it.
The go-to bike.
Yeah, I went to Loretta's in it. I still got it. I want to hang it up in my house when I get one.
Oh, dude, that'd be sweet.
That'd be super cool.
Seems like there's a pretty big racing community in Maryland, though. As far as like from my visiting there and going to Bud's Creek, it seems like there's a lot of racers up there.
Yeah, dude, there's a lot. There's a lot of local racers. Like Bud's Creek fans, they pop off. Like,
yeah.
They go hard.
Yeah.
But I think it all came from like Travis coming out. Travis, you know, led everything to Maryland.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But, definitely did. But how many brothers do you have? You have quite a few brothers.
Yeah, I got three. Four boys.
Four boys?
Yep, all four boys.
Man, I bet your mom was pure chaos.
Oh, dude, I was supposed to be the girl. I was getting born and everything. We were trying for a girl, they say, and she wanted to bring me home in a dress. My dad was like, hell.
So you're the youngest?
Yep.
I'm
the baby.
Yeah, so youngest of four boys, man. Your parents had their hands full, man.
Yeah, no kidding.
I have one boy and two girls, and I can hardly manage that.
Only one in the family that races motorcycles?
So Alec, my brother, he raced too. Same with Dylan. They all raced, but they didn't really do anything crazy. Alec made it to Loretta's twice. Both years broke his femur. Didn't get to go. So then he just said, you know, I'm going to go to school. I'm going to, you know, go to normal high school and get graduated and stuff and just focus on myself. But
there you go.
Other brother, Brady, he rides horses. So we kind of chose two gnarly sports, like super expensive. He was doing like show jumping and going. He was flying to like Florida, doing everything in Maryland, doing all he can, and had a dad built him a barn, got four horses, which they're we paid young, but they are worth like $65,000 each.
Yeah,
but no,
horse racing is expensive.
Anything with horses, I mean, they're hay burners, man. They just sit there and eat all day.
Yeah,
and
okay.
You know.
Yeah, but you currently live in Clearmont, you came down. You and I talked about it off air before we got on the episode, but you came down, what was it, roughly 3 years ago?
Yeah, roughly 3 years ago, I came to Central Florida.
Sleeping on RT's couch?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, so I came down, I was maybe, first time I went to RT's, I was maybe 13. Went there, lived with, it was Austin Tuskoff. I remember Mason Gonzalez was there with us. Like, yep. There's some good dudes. And then he opened up his basement. He had a living quarters. It was like 3-4 beds in one room. Then he had an outdoor couch and cot and everything, which was super cool. And then I stopped doing that. I would go there for maybe like a month out of the year. Out of the wintertime, it was too cold, snowing in Maryland. Then he quit. He stopped training me. He said, no, I'm walking away. I'm done. He opened up a Temple Float Spa, which was, I actually have one of the spas. It's a big egg. It's a float pod. It's 10,000 gallons of water, but 1,000 pounds of Epsom salt. So it's so buoyant. You hop in, it's completely dark, and you just float, like right at your ear and everything. So he opened that. It was crazy. He like went a complete different direction. But
10,000 gallon egg?
Yeah, pretty much.
What?
I've never seen one.
It's
of like those. A little capsule. It looks just like an egg when it's closed, but it's more buoyant than the Red Sea. So you just sit there and float without trying. You can do a lot of mental training, and all the magnesium and the salt, like it'll absorb into your muscles. It recovers you super fast.
Wow.
So I live with them. He went that direction. I kind of quit through just family issues. My mom gets surgery and stuff like that. So
yeah,
we stopped, didn't really ride much, and sold everything. Sold the camper, bikes, trailer. I kept the pit bike and my PW. Yeah. So then we...
So talk about that a little bit. Go into it. I mean, you and I have had the opportunity to talk about it, but for the people that are listening that don't know, or you talk about growing up as the youngest of four brothers in Maryland, getting on the P-Dub first, going through, doing some amateur stuff. Did you ever have any big amateur success, like any titles or anything like
Dude,
that?
Dude, I didn't really have, I wasn't very great as an amateur, like not at all. I don't know why, like the biggest accomplishment I had up until maybe 2019 Loretta's was, I made it to Loretta's in 2009 on my PW. I remember when they ran the hopper gear and stuff like that, they were trying to make it a lot quicker.
Okay.
So I didn't run one at Loretta's, so I was getting crappy stars. Like the guy who built my engine going there did like a horrible job. I got zero stars, but I'd work from my way. 38.
We won't mention his name.
No, I don't even remember his name, honestly. But
engine builder on a peewee.
Yeah, dude, it was bad. It was, you know, 50 dads. They go crazy.
Well, that's a competitive class.
Oh, dude, the 50s are gnarly. Yeah. But I would work my way from the back to the front. I was just having fun. But I got a whole shot, and I got ninth overall. That was like my biggest success up until 2019, I think. I podiumed 2VDB Limited, and that was like the kickstart of where I was like, dang, like a little taste of success for once. It was pretty sweet.
Yeah, maybe we have something here.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. So I didn't really have much of a successful like amateur career.
Yeah.
Just kind of working my way up through the pros now.
So you get through that 2019, that podium in the B class, and you kind of say, okay, man, we could actually try this.
Right.
You know, we may have a chance here to do something. So is that when you decided to come down to RT?
That was pretty much like, that was my first, I'm pretty sure that was my second year at Sandbox. I was at Moto Sandbox for 1 year, and then I podiumed then. And then I was like, look, I hit him up. I was like, I want you to be there for me. Like, I want you. I don't want anyone else. I want my guy.
Yeah.
So he ended up, he sold his float spa because I think something happened with his dad. So he was like, I'm going to help my dad out. So he sold all four tanks, which they were, dude, like stupid expensive. They're a couple grand themselves. So he gave me one. So I have one in my garage in Claremont.
Nice.
So I have that for my own little recovery business. And then he, you know, came back to train him.
Nice.
But I think this is going to be his last year with me. I think he's going to do his own way again.
Yeah.
He's kind of getting a little burnt out. RT's been around for a while.
Yeah. A time or two. No doubt there. But so now you come down to Florida, you're living in Claremont, you're training right now at the Dog Pound.
Right.
Used to be the 83 compound. Obviously Lawrence has acquired it. Now it's the Dog Pound. So you get in a race there, and you're right now you're doing the Yamaha, and I was looking up, you've made every night show that you've gone to this year, right?
Yeah, so far.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm super happy. That was like my biggest thing. Like, I came in the season not knowing where I was. I had an injury the year before, broke my leg, and so I felt super good that year. Like, I didn't know if I'd be able to get back to that point. I was like really nervous. Came back, and all I want to do is make every night show. If I can make every night show, be on the TV, be in the racing, and just try and be somewhat in the mix, maybe get a whole shot here and there, like just to put myself up front, like I was very content. But it's gone pretty good so far. I'm trying to get for that first main event still.
Yeah, no, that's good. But you're kind of right there on the bubble.
Yeah, I'm right there. I've had a couple of good races. Got seventh, won an LCQ, and then was in a transfer position. Got, I wouldn't say cleaned out. I got cross jumped, but
yeah,
kind of took myself out of the race. So
you're just doing East Coast.
Yeah, just East Coast.
Yeah. Yeah. So you talked about that surgery, or not surgery, the injury that you had last year. So coming up through this right now, I mean, we just mentioned you did all the, you've made every night show that you've tried to put it in for this year, but your outdoor schedule, potential possibility of getting that injury, which had some hardware, right?
Yes.
So possibly trying to go get that looked at with the doc?
Yeah, so I'm trying to get it looked at because like for cross training, I can only cycle. I do hour and a half cycles on Wednesdays, 2 hours on Saturdays, and it's kind of getting over to where my hardware, I have four screws in my knee and two screws in my ankle. Rod through the tibia, which is holding all together, and that's what's bothering me. I don't know if my body's rejecting it or if it's just motocross is a gnarly sport. It's just a lot of impact. You know? So
no doubt.
I'm thinking about, I have a consultation May 5th after Nashville. I'm not going to race Salt Lake. I'm going to do Nashville, drive back to Maryland, get it all figured out. Hopefully he lets me get it taken out, because that was my first ever surgery. I don't have any other hardware in me, so I didn't know what it felt like, but it sucks. It's just when it's cold, especially in Maryland, when it's cold, I know when the weather's coming, I know when it's going to snow. If it's damp, rainy, like it aches, and I never thought that it would
How long ago was that hardware placed in your leg?
November of 2021.
Yeah, so about 18 months.
Yeah, it's been a little over a year.
So wouldn't the bone be healed by now?
Right.
That's where you can get it removed?
Yeah, so.
Should be.
Yeah, that's the plan, but I called him and I was like, look, man, can we get it out? And the last time I was in there for a follow-up, he said, I want it in for a year.
Oh, wow.
If anything, I just wanted the screw out of my knee, because you can see the screw pop out of my skin at certain movements. It's not in there very deep. But then we just got on a call and he said he wants to keep it in for 2 years. But, I can't deal with it anymore. It sucks. I don't know if he can tell me what to do with my body or not, but I want this stuff out.
Well, go up there and get an opinion,
Right, for
sure. See what he says and try and figure that part out. But as far as, transitioning from amateur into pro stuff, and then, now I know you've got to race some outdoors. You got a top 20 in the outdoors.
Yep.
So I saw some of the outdoor results, and then, your supercrosses, like I said, you've made every night show this year that you've tried to get into, and that's success in its own. But outside of just talking about the racing and the results, what is your personal favorite part of the aspect of it? Is it the during the week? Is it at the race? If it is at the race, what part of it?
Dude, it's got to be at the race. I don't know. Maybe the guy's a psycho, but I don't really know anybody that enjoys the weekly grind. The weekly grind is so hard, and it's so mentally and physically beat down. When you go to the races, that's when you have fun.
Yeah.
When you line up, you're in the tunnel, you're watching opening ceremonies, the guys are rappelling with the American flag. Dude, it's sick. I love it. I get chills every time I watch opening ceremonies in the tunnel. But I think opening ceremonies for sure. And then privateers like us, we don't really get a lot of fan, talk. We don't get to sign a lot of stuff. So when everyone comes by the tent, or I'm walking in between to the stands and I get someone to ask for an autograph, I'm like, yeah, for sure. That's super sick to me. I love it.
That's pretty cool. At the same time though, there's pros. There's also cons.
For sure.
So what's a con?
To just the fan stuff or what?
No, not just the fan stuff.
As far as your racing program or what,
I guess just you kind of have the...
Maybe traveling?
Yeah, I don't really enjoy the traveling. The traveling sucks. That's why I choose East Coast. West Coast kind of sucks doing those five-hour flights, because I don't have a place to stay out there.
Right.
Public tracks kind of suck to do, but...
Yep.
I honestly think, it's part of the sport and you have to get over this, but you don't really have a lot of downtime. Throughout the week, if you want to go get, simple stuff, you want to go get a haircut, dude, sometimes you're too tired. Wednesdays and Saturdays are cycle days, but you do so many miles on the bicycle, it's not even... Yeah. You don't really have a lot of time to do anything.
It's a lot.
It is.
It's a lot.
You got to breathe, sleep, and eat this stuff, which it's what you got to do.
Yeah. Well, you got to think about what's the guy next to you doing.
That's what keeps me going. I think they're doing more, so now I got to do more.
Yeah.
So you've obviously mentioned the fact that you want to make all the night shows or whatever, but
for sure.
And obviously was that your goal? Are you setting that goal for yourself this year? Obviously, you've made all the night shows, but what's next as far as, say, next year?
Yes.
What kind of goals are you setting for yourself?
So after I get this hardware stuff out, next year, I think if I'm on the bubble already to main events, and I train at home and do the, the whoops loop that I'm going to plan on building at my house in Maryland, trying to get, a little whoops loop so I can just, because that's a make or break. Corners and whoops, that's what kills us all as privateers. So if I can do that and get that figured out, I want to be a main event guy each round.
Yeah,
that's spot on though.
And it's spot on, but don't get me wrong, it's a tall task because anything can happen if you don't get in through the heat. LCQs are carnage. Yeah. Jordan Smith didn't make it. It's crazy.
Right.
So it's.
Yeah, but I think you're right there, Garrett, though, and even Shane too. When you watch these guys, it's one thing, obviously if you're a factory guy, factory suspension, whatever, you're supposed to be expected to get in there. But for the guys that are, on the bubble, the true make or break really is whoops and corners. Most of them, yes, sometimes there's a tricky rhythm that somebody's trying to put together, but for the most part, the privateer guys are doing almost all of the same rhythms. So then where's your difference maker outside of a straight line? If you're all hitting the triples, if you're all doing a 3-3-2 in the rhythm, your separators are your corners and your whoops. I mean, you could see that video. I think it was Houston, where Deegan just rails that corner. Dude, I mean, that video went
insane corner speed I've seen.
Yeah, but again, corner speed. You do that in every single corner on the track, you're dropping a second. You hit those whoops and you're blitzing them and staying on top instead of jumping through, you gain a second. Well, typically, from what I've looked at this year so far, your first place versus 40th place of making the night show qualifying is usually right around a 6 second gap.
Exactly.
So if you're in a 6 second gap, if you're the guy that's sitting there in, let's just say, 25th, 30th, 35th in the time qualifying, which, you know, like Aiden, he was, I think, 30th, 32nd in most of his, you know, night show stuff. You shave 2 seconds, now you're at 18th place. You're main event guy.
For sure.
You know, so right. you got to figure out. And I think the biggest thing outside of, you know, putting together the same rhythms, the corner speed and the whoops. And I would say probably even more than the corners is the whoops. I think the whoops is probably the biggest separator in the privateer side.
I mean, obviously the goal is to make it to the main, you know, main event. But between time qualifying and all that, like, the whoops are new and they kind of hold up or whatever. But what I've seen this year is, like, these whoops just fall apart.
Oh, they're destroyed.
Every main event. And it's like, you got to be able, once you make it to that point, you got to be able to adjust what you're doing in that. But because if you build a big whoop pad or whoop loop or whatever, like, they're going to be really good. But are they realistic?
Right.
Compared to, like, what you're doing in the main event? Like, You can't replicate what you do at the races. That sucks, but well, wish you could.
Garrett, tell Shane the story. Shane wasn't here when you and I were talking about this. The story about being out there with a shovel and digging bricks and stuff.
Oh, dude. Yeah. So in it was 2021, the year I broke my leg. You know, we came out of outdoors. I made a couple outdoor nationals, and I was, you know, pumped. I made 3 night shows at Supercross that year, and I was like, you know, I need to work on my whoops. My whoops and my corner speeds suck.
Yeah.
Doing all the same rhythms, just like he said, like, rhythms are fine. Well, my dad brings in, like, you know, maybe 25 or 30 loads of clay from his buddy, you know, dump truck loads. We're building our own set of whoops, and I'm down there. They're concrete. It's, like, some of the worst dirt I've ever seen. Like, I would take a California test track over this stuff.
Yeah.
And, I'm going through and I get a flat tire. I'm like, dude, what is going on? Like, I don't understand. So I go down there. There's full cinder blocks. There's bricks.
Yeah.
There's rocks. Like, there's pieces of concrete. I'm like, Dad, I really appreciate what you did, but dude, this dirt is really bad. Like, it's.
What did he say? Like, I'm like, man up and just freaking hit it.
He said, well, if you go fast enough, you won't hit in the bottoms of it. You won't hit it. I said, you know, yeah, I guess you're right.
That's
sounds
a typical
good.
Dad response.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
But I want to go back to the qualifying thing. Like, if you qualify, I think the best I qualified this year is 30th. And it doesn't sound that great, but, dude, everything is so close in time. Yeah. It's unreal. But
yeah. So sometimes it's 10th.
Yeah, no, for sure. And if you go from 30th, you drop a second and a half. Now you're at 25th or 22nd. Mm-hmm. That makes you line up for the heat race so much more close to the box. Gives you a straight line, try and get yourself a hole shot, get you in a better position just to make the main event. So
if you can
up your qualifying, dude, like, it just sets your night up completely better.
Well, and that's got to be your goal now.
Right.
Right. Qualify better, get a better gate pick, and get in the main event.
Exactly.
You know, you've made the night shows in every one that you've done. So next step, main event.
For sure.
You know, try to get it in there. So East Coast, I know this weekend's an off weekend for everybody, for the boys. I saw a lot of people. I think Kenny went on a cruise. I saw RJ was out at the beach on the water and stuff like that. So good weekend off for everybody. But then next weekend, I believe they go Arizona, right? Glendale?
Yeah.
And then after that would be Atlanta.
Yep.
Are you doing Atlanta?
Doing Atlanta, and then I'm doing the, I think, Jersey's next.
Yeah, Jersey, which is, that one's a triple crown, right?
Yeah, it's a triple crown or east-west. I'm not sure which
I think it's
one.
Both.
Yeah.
I think it's both.
Shoot. Mm. Dude, those are gnarly.
Yeah, I'll look it up right quick while we're talking about it, but or maybe Tyler, if you can look it up and see. Tyler's our producer over here in the background of the table. You can see him in the background of the cameras, but...
What do you think about the triple crown, like, qualifying? Well, I mean, obviously, it's like you got to go out there and haul the mail straight out of the gate,
sure.
But, like... For a privateer, is it more difficult, or what's your opinion on it?
So I haven't raced one yet. But
oh, you haven't?
I haven't raced one yet. But
yeah, because you didn't go to Dallas.
No, I didn't go.
You guys took that weekend off.
Yeah, because after Tampa, I hurt my knee. I thought I tore my ACL because the doctor pulled on my knee and he goes, yeah, this thing's pretty loose. And I was like,
you had a little bit of a get off there.
Yeah, I had a little bit of a get off, so then I missed that round. But I'm pretty sure, I could be wrong, but I think you have to qualify top 20.
top 18, and then they do a LCQ during the day.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's a daytime LCQ for the remaining four spots.
Yeah. Gotcha.
So you got to qualify top 18 to automatically get in, and then LCQ for four, and that 22-man gate would be for the three mains.
Right. Gotcha. Okay.
So basically, when you go and do one, there's no messing around.
Dude, you got to let it eat right off the rip.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're talking about, too, though, like, Garrett, you mentioned that your top qualifying spot was around 30th. Mm-hmm. I think Aiden was right around 32nd or something, maybe 30th in Tampa. I don't know. But, if you think about the expense, and that's part of it, why we do this podcast, because for me as a team owner side, I try and share openly, you know, how much this stuff cost and the right. travel and everything. And you look at Dallas being a 16-hour drive. We went, and if I would have known at the beginning of the season, I didn't look when I went to register for events for Aiden and Cole. I didn't look at the details of what every event was, right. whether it was an East-West shootout, yeah. whether it was a Triple Crown.
Yeah.
If I would have known ahead of time that it was a Triple Crown before we paid for it, then I probably would have given it a little bit of extra thought, because you got to think about it like this. Your top 18 goes in, then you got to be top four to go. If you're a bubble guy that's maybe or maybe not making night shows, and you're sitting in the back of that like 38, 39, 40 spot, maybe even 41, 42, well, there's really no point because there's no night show. You know, like the night show is main events three times. So now you're trying to be a bubble guy that's making main events.
Right.
And that's even harder.
Super difficult.
So when we went out there, you know, obviously, you get to go, you get the experience, and that's a big thing for the boys to be able to see it and have the experience. But at the same time, it's like, man, you really need to be like a top 25 guy, like a yeah. on the bubble, maybe making some mains, maybe not making some mains, to make it into a Triple Crown. It's just so much more difficult to do it, you know. That
turns into like a bummer weekend, you know. It's like you go all the way out there, and
it's Glendale. You know. I think Glendale is the Triple Crown.
Glendale is also a Futures.
Glendale is a Triple Crown.
So I think New Jersey's not?
No, it says there's only three, and I'm looking at the Supercross website. It says Anaheim 2, Arlington, and Glendale for the 2023 Monster Energy Supercross Triple Crown Champion.
Okay,
it
might just be East-West then.
It's a East-West showdown. It's a Futures also.
Gotcha.
So New Jersey, East Rutherford, New Jersey. That one's going to be at MetLife Stadium. Got it right here on the Supercross Live website. So you got a 250 East-West showdown, which that by itself throws another mix into it. Because if you got an East-West showdown, now you're not just trying to be top 40 on your coast. You're trying to be top 40 on both coasts.
Right, yeah. And there's people who shred, like privateer-wise, that will knock us out.
Oh, that's going to be a difficult round.
Yeah.
So you got Glendale's coming up next week. Tyler says that one's the Triple Crown, and it's also a Futures. Then you got Atlanta, which is out in the Atlanta Motor Speedway. It's not in downtown anymore. They've been there for a couple of years now. It's kind of a cool venue. It's similar to Daytona vibe.
Yeah, it's super sweet.
And then East Rutherford, New Jersey. So that'll be an East-West showdown. And then after that is Nashville.
Yeah.
April 29th is Nashville. I'm looking forward to that one. Shane and I are flying up. We're going to that one. So we look forward to that. We were going to go to Atlanta, but we have not made any public announcement about this yet, but Aiden had a pretty good little get off this week. Garrett, you were out there with him at the dog pound. You guys were kind of training together this week, doing some of the same program and riding together at the same time. And Aiden just kind of got outside of a rut with his front tire on a 3N to one of the rhythms and ended up coming up short and banged up his ankle, had to take a little trip to the hospital and get some x-rays checked out and see what's going on. And good thing is nothing is broke, so that's a positive. Nothing broke there, but I believe he's going to have an MRI on Monday to try and see if there's any ligament damage or anything like that. But at least right now, from what the doc is saying, is they wrapped him up with a soft wrap, put him on crutches, and keep all the weight off of it for 2 weeks. So that would put us pretty much right up to Atlanta.
Right.
So there, you know, it just doesn't make much sense to try and go up there and race on a bum foot, trying to get in. So I think the way it's looking right now, which this may change, you know, it could change any day, but as of this recording of the podcast, it looks like we're going to skip Atlanta because Cole is still coming back from his arm injury, which is looking really good.
Yeah.
Getting it plate and screwed was a good choice there. His recovery time is good, and He's been back on the bike cycling. I saw he went on a cycle yesterday with Benny and Jet and Chance and the boys, and they went for a cycle, and he's doing well on his exercising part, but he hasn't been riding the bike yet because of trying to jar that arm, you know, would give it the full time to heal. So, you know, Cole's plan right now is going to be to get back on the bike when he can and start focusing on outdoors, and then Aiden at the meantime is going to be recovering from this foot injury and see if there's a possibility to race Nashville. But we're going to Nashville either way because we already booked the flights, we already booked our Airbnb, so we got to go no matter what, Shane.
Yeah, we're just might go as fans, but hopefully Aiden is able to.
You gonna wear that tank top?
I got like five others like this one, so it's a possibility if the weather's hot enough.
Tank top every day up there?
Just tanking it.
Just tanking it.
Yep.
All right, so Garrett, then we got Nashville for you. That's going to be your final Supercross of the season.
Right.
And then shortly after, I think you said it was like the next week, you're going to go get checked out with the doc and see if you can get some of that hardware out.
Yeah, so I'm going to fly the 29th is Saturday.
Yes.
So Sunday, I'm going to fly back to Claremont, get it, you know, load my truck up, get a practice bike, go back to Maryland. I think it'll be May 2nd I'll drive home, and then May 5th I have a consultation to see if I can get this hardware out because...
So what's your plan if the doc actually wins the argument and you don't take it out? Are you going to do some outdoors?
I guess I'm going to go outdoors then. Yeah, I mean, I haven't really thought about it. I talked to my dad. I was like, you know, what if he says no? And he's hard-headed. He doesn't care. He's like, we're getting it out. Like, it's bothering you. Like, you got to, you know, plead your case to be able to get it out.
I'm like,
well, I mean, if the professional's telling me that we shouldn't get it out because it'll re-break quick enough, like, then I'm not going to get it out.
But. I mean, I could see the doc, you know, going kind of both ways there.
Oh, for sure. And the reason, like... The way I look at it is if I'm not injured, if I don't have something broken and I can't physically ride my dirt bike, there's no reason for me to miss a race. Like, I wanted to race outdoors. And my dad was like, look, even me, my dad, and Ronnie sat down and we talked about it. And he said, like, you're complaining about it. You're always going to have issues with it until you get it out. And I was like, all right, you know, sounds good. But if he says no, I'm not going to be bitter. Like, I'll go race outdoors. I like outdoors. The pay kind of sucks. That's about it.
I haven't looked at that.
That's a big. I mean, are you talking about like the whole season? Because that's a big season. That's a lot of traveling.
Oh, for sure. But I'm like,
you're talking about the MX Sports payout.
Yeah, just MX Sports. I think I went. I don't know. I want to say I went like 18, 20 or something like that at Washougal. I can't remember off the top of my head. I know that I went. I got top 20, and I think I made maybe like $820 for two 35 minute motos.
Yeah,
I don't even think it was $800. I think it was like $700 something. I'm like,
I mean, I'm not gonna say anything bad about it, but you can make more money than that at a damn local race,
right? For sure. I mean, there's an easy solution, dude. If I just twist my wrist harder, I can make more money. But
shoot,
it's easier said than done.
You're working pretty damn, especially outdoors. You're working pretty damn hard to make a couple bucks. You know what I mean? So,
well, we've always had comments about that, you know, the pay and the contingency programs and stuff like that. You know, these guys are working their tail off during the week and, you know, putting the effort in on the weekends, you know, to go out there and
risking major injuries. And it's tough.
Yeah.
You know,
no, it's a lot. It's a lot. No doubt. So I want to take a second real quick and pause and just say that episode 26 brought to you by Premium Outdoor Products. They're over in Claremont, Florida, right off of Highway 27. They're open Monday through Saturday. They've got outdoor furniture, outdoor kitchen, quality USA-made products for any outdoor space that you have. So anybody that's looking for some furniture, like patio furniture or grill for your Big Green Egg or Kamado, whatever it may be, go check out Premium Outdoor Products.
That's right up our alley, man. Like,
oh, yeah.
Do you have any discount codes for these people?
We're going to have to call them up.
We're going to have to figure something out.
Yeah, I know my wife, she's wanting to add like a little outdoor pergola space, you know, a little cooktop area over there by our pool. So I know that we are talking about making a drive over there to see these folks here within the next couple of weeks and check out some quality outdoor furniture with the Premium Outdoor Products. So a huge thank you for them for being a part of this episode and being a part of our team and coming on. So anybody looking for that stuff, though, man, make sure if you need any outdoor furniture or outdoor living space that you want to do up and decorate, Premium Outdoor Products, that's the place to do it. And make sure if you do go by there, you call them, you email them, or if you go by in person, let them know that you heard about it on the Future MX radio show and on the Future MX podcast and wanted to go check them out because we sent you that way. So that's a huge help to them and to us also, and greatly appreciate that for anybody looking. But Garrett, we've talked about the amateur stuff. We talked about riding and where you're at right now. But we have always, on almost every episode lately, where we try and take a rider like yourself, Mr. 242 Garrett Hoffman, and peel back the onion a little bit. We're sure. Try and get somebody to see you, like raw you, right? So we know you guys all have a training schedule, you know, whether it's 3-4 days a week on the bike and then your cardio schedule. But outside of that, like, let's break it down even further to what is the Hoffman's favorite food? Like, is it got to be pretty strict on diet during the week, or is there like a cheat day on Sundays? Or
I pretty much eat like, I mean, I try to eat clean. I do, but I have really bad like stomach issues in general. I've had to spend so much money and samples and stuff like that. Just in doctors, I've gotten acupuncture, like everything done. Cause yeah. I had it to where like I wouldn't be able to eat anything. I'd go ride my dirt bike and I would have the gnarliest stomach cramps to where I couldn't ride. So I try and stay like pretty clean, but dude, lately I've been destroying some sushi. Like,
yeah.
I don't know what it is about it. Like, I went through a kick where I didn't like it that much, but now, dude, I'm getting it like twice a week.
Yeah.
That's so good.
That's a good choice.
Dude, sushi's yeah. It's amazing.
Sushi is good. So, I mean, when you're talking about eating clean, are you talking like just some grilled chicken, a lot of veggies, fruit?
Yeah, yeah. Like, I do. My go-to is a nice ribeye, some mushrooms, sugar snap peas, and then some rice on the side. Like, it's pretty lean, pretty nice, like clean stuff.
Yeah, there you go.
But yeah, I don't know. Just sushi's been calling my name. I love it.
Yeah. Now, do you ever see yourself like counting calories or how much your intake is?
I mean, I try to. My dad's really big on that because he was a triathlete and he was a bodybuilder. So he was always one to count my calories. He was like, you know, you're not eating enough. You're burning more than you're putting in. He's trying to get me to count. I'm like, dude, like, respectfully, I don't have time to go on my phone and log like this amount of calories for a steak and all this stuff. So I just eat.
Yeah.
If I listen to my body a lot. If my body says I'm hungry or like you're full or you know you're getting underweight, like you gotta start grubbing. You gotta start eating some more.
No, I know. We talked to Pooh and I were talking about this and looking at the different, you know, there's multiple platforms out there right now of people that can help with, you know, diet, nutrition, eating. But you know, one thing about like being out there on race days, you guys with Supercross, your schedule, I mean, it's a pretty early morning on Saturdays to get track walk in. And then as soon as track walk is over, you know, you got to start getting everything prepped, ready, geared up. And then you've got qualifying, free practice, and then the two time sessions. But you got to make sure you're fueling the body between those.
Yeah,
you know,
I got a problem with that.
Yeah, I mean the amount of you know food and nutrition that you need to bring in throughout the day, you know, and it needs to be quality food. You know, you can't really just have, all right, well, I'll just grab some chicken fingers out of the stands when we're inside the stadium, or you know, a bag of chips at the truck. But you know, eating good quality food and making sure you have enough of it. You know, do you feel like you see any of that throughout race day of struggles?
Yeah, right. Like Supercross, especially if it's worse outdoors, because outdoors you have to leave your hotel sometimes at like 5:45, 6 a.m. So Supercross, I mean, I'm a really like, I'm gonna be honest, I'm a straight up head case on race day. Like, dude, like straight up, like
you're not the only one,
dude. Yeah. Like I'm stressing if I'm gonna like, I know I'm a night show dude, and I know that I'm a potential, like I should be saying in my head like you're a main event guy every night.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. But I go in there so stressed if I'm going to be top 40. So, like, I'll eat maybe an egg and a bite of toast in the morning, go out for time qualifying, do track walk. That's at 8 o'clock. By the time, you know, 12 o'clock comes around for free practice, I haven't really ate much.
Yeah.
So now I'll do two time sessions, and once I know that I'm set, I'm in the show, I'm going to go racing tonight, then I'll start eating. But then by that time, it's too late. Like, you're already in the hole.
Yeah.
So my dad's been trying to push me on, like, whether it's, you know, you eat just a little bit of fruit, or you eat a bar, you eat something. Like, you have to constantly eat.
Yeah.
And same thing with, I work with Alex Martin in troll training, and he's really big on eating. Like,
yeah.
No matter if it's you're drinking your electrolyte drink and you eat half a peanut butter and jelly or half a apple or just something, you always, every time you stop off your dirt bike, you should eat something.
Yeah. And troll too. I mean, troll training, they have multiple different levels of their program.
Right.
Like I looked at theirs. I mean, it's very similar because, you know, I've worked with Michael Byrne in the past, and Burner has the Moto Blueprint right now where he can build a custom program, but troll could do something similar for that. And I think that's what you have with him is,
yeah.
You know, he has multiple different tiers and platforms and stuff that you can do with him. So, I mean, I'd love to try and get him on that episode one time.
Dude, that'd be sweet.
Bring him down and talk about what he's got going on. But, you know, food is very important, making sure that you're staying up with hydration, nutrition, you know, getting the calories in because you're going to burn it. But outside of that, on race day, Is there anything on race day that like you do, whether it's a superstition or whether it's something I have to do before, you know, on every race? Do you have anything like that that you go through?
I have my routine. I really try to stay away from like superstitions because it gets like, I'm already a head case. If I know I put my boot on the wrong direction, like the left before the right, like I'll start tripping out. But I do my right knee brace and my left boot every time. Right knee brace before left, then left boot before right. That's just one thing that I always do. It's my routine. Huh. I have to do it.
Good.
Yeah. I mean, and
whatever ticks.
Yeah. It seems to work sometimes, but yeah, I don't know. I'm weird like that.
Well, I have seen, you know, we have multiple different social media platforms between our Instagram, our Facebook, our TikTok. I think our TikTok right now, Shane, we got over 130,000 likes and like 16,000 followers, you know, in the past couple months. And I always look over and I see what everybody else is doing, whether it's, you know, Drew or Aiden or right, Jet. Right. But I also look at yours too. And you got some pretty funny ones on there.
Dude, like everybody's so, you show up to the race, everyone's mean mugging and like everyone takes it so serious, which dude, it's good. Like it's your job and you're professional. I understand.
Yeah. But you gotta, like, have some fun,
dude,
too.
Like on TikTok, like I think I maybe have like a handful of motocross, you know, me riding my dirt bike, whether it's just me making something funny or just like, I posted a video of me walking my dang dog this morning. Like,
yeah,
I don't, it doesn't always have to be motocross.
Well, there was one where you had like the big bruise on your leg.
Oh dude, that one was bad.
Yeah. That one was on there.
I took a handlebar to the thigh, like right to my groin. And that was probably one of the weirdest injuries I've had. Like no matter what I did, it always hurt. Like I couldn't ride. It was against the shroud. I couldn't do a start because I couldn't squeeze. Like it sucked.
Well, I mean, and Shane, you know from everything, and you know, being the driver of some of the greatest guys that have ever raced a motorcycle, how serious everything is. But it's sometimes there's got to be some fun in it too.
There is. I mean, I think once you get to a level, I mean, they all take it seriously. But I mean, on Friday night, I've played cornhole with, you know, Eli. You know, like they do. Once you get to a certain level, they have the routine just like anybody else. But I think they start to have more fun,
yeah,
you know, after a while, because, you know, he's doing the left boot, right boot and knee brace thing right now. I mean, he probably doesn't eat because his nerves and you're a wreck, you know,
sure.
And once you race for so long, they kind of relax a little bit more, it seems like.
Yeah. I just think that, you know, at some point, yes, you're there to do your expectations and do your job, like you said, you know, I mean, that is a big part of it. But at the same time, and I struggle with this probably the most on the team owner side, like, you know, we're putting so much effort into this, you know, financially, mentally, physically, there's a lot of stress involved with the whole thing. But I often catch myself, and even my wife is pretty good about trying to say, you know, you got to enjoy some of this too.
For sure.
You know, I mean, in the big picture, you're 20 years old, traveling the country, going to see new cities every weekend, going to different places that many, many other 20-year-olds are not going to be able to go do.
Right.
You know, I mean, this year alone, I mean, we've flown to Anaheim, California, and we've toured Fox and Oakley and Kawasaki. I mean, we've had a really cool year, and I catch myself a lot taking things so seriously and worrying about results so much that at the same time, it's like, man, you got to enjoy some of this too, and the opportunities that you have, you know, like,
yeah, for sure.
It's hard to get a smile out of this guy. Like, we went to Tampa and he's just like so dang serious the whole time. I'm like, dude, relax. Like,
dude,
it's hard,
you know.
I did see at Tampa those pictures of you guys setting up for press day out of the rig. Those were sick.
Yeah,
those pictures under the lights when it was all dark out.
Tyler took those. Tyler, didn't you take those?
Yeah,
those were sweet.
Yeah, no, those are some good quality stage photos right there. But press day was early. You had an early press day in Houston.
Yeah, everyone kind of bags on the early press day, but I don't care. It's such an advantage. If you get to ride the track before, I'll wake up at 4 a.m. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Even though you're not riding the full track, you're still trying to get stuff together. You're seeing the dirt. You're putting rhythms together that they do allow you to ride. So there is an advantage to be able to do press day. And you know, just like we did with those photos and videos and getting exposure for, you know, our guys and our team and getting out there early, you know, there's a big benefit to that.
Yeah, it's publicity.
Yeah. So
that's what everything matters now.
I like that a lot. It's cool. But I just go back to the whole thing, though, of not trying to take everything so seriously. I mean, I understand it is a grind. You know, you guys work your tail off. I see it all the time. And, you know, I would say try and enjoy, you know, as much of it as you can at the same time. You know, there's got to be work and goals, but at the same time, you got to have some fun too. Yeah, you know, work hard, play hard, right?
I don't really operate. Like, I don't operate that well when it's so stressed out. Like,
yeah.
I got to crack some jokes, be happy, you know, make it fun. Like, the one person who is always like, if I'm like stressed out or whatever, I'll go straight to Cullen Park.
Yeah.
Dude, Cullen is such a funny dude. And if you ever watch his YouTube videos, dude, they're unreal.
Oh, yeah. We've like, had Cullen on the episode a couple times.
Yeah, dude. He's just joking around. He's always laughing. Like, he's just a good, like, energy guy.
Yeah. Well, I've known Cullen since I was young and he was really little. There's a poster over there on the wall. Maybe we can put a picture up. But that was when Cullen was on 50s and I was announcing. And then, you know, obviously got his Phoenix Honda hat and stuff like that. But the whole Park family, man, they're awesome people. Yeah. And Cullen is, he's always a positive guy to be around.
Oh, for sure.
Almost every round we've been at, you know, I've either sat with his family or I've, you know, make it a point to go out of my way and see him and, you know, at least give him a hug or something.
Yeah, dude, he's a super cool dude.
They are cool people.
It's a great family.
You're kind of over there in that mix with them though, being in Claremont. You know, you got a lot of those, you know, Colin's over in that area.
Yeah.
You're probably not too far from Sandbox.
No, maybe like, let's say maybe 30 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah, so like when I moved down here 3 years ago, I didn't have any friends. Like, I was at the facility and they were all pretty young people. Like, at the facility at Sandbox, it was me, Casey Cochran, and then the rest of the pros. There was no amateurs there.
Yeah.
So Cullen ended up coming and riding, like, he'll pay the daily rate, you know, ride a day or so. And him and Chase Sexton were super tight. Like, for you to get into their circle, it was gnarly. Like, they were, like, just super, like, it was a group, it was a clique.
Yeah.
So I hung out with them a couple of times, and finally, like, we became, like, the trio. Like, it was me, Cullen, and Chase. We did everything together.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Cullen had to go to North Carolina, you know, live there and do his deal. But
yeah.
Chase is still here, so we still hang out, do whatever, whenever, go get Chipotle, go get food. Usually go to the gym together.
And now you're hanging out with all those rowdies out there at the dog cam?
Oh, dude, now those kids are rowdy.
Yeah, they're rowdy.
Good kids, though. Super sick.
Yeah. It's got to be fun being out there, though, being around. I mean, you got the Lawrences there, which obviously are both leading each coast that they're in right now. So watching them every day, you know, sometimes you got to sit back and just soak it in.
Oh, for sure. Like, Ronnie's really big on visual learning. He'll be out there with his little vintage camera. He's filming me through the Wolfs. We'll go hook it up to the TV. But sometimes you just got to sit back and, like, get your notepad out and look.
Yeah.
You watch Jet, you watch Hunter, their technique is always so perfect. They're always, you know, toes tucked in, chest down through the whoops. Like, they never move. It's always just the bike teeter-tottering across each whoop.
Yeah.
Like, to watch them and to ride with them, it's
two,
exceptional.
Two of the most technically skilled riders I've ever seen.
So good.
Oh, they got discipline, and I would say that's all. Has a lot to do with Darren.
Yeah, Dazzy.
You know, because he watches every aspect and every move that they make on the bike. And when they mess up, they know it.
Yeah. And I'll tell you too, man, Chance has come a long way.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, that kid shreds.
He is doing really well right now. Yep. And, you know, at first when we were doing some of the future stuff last year and getting to watch him, I didn't know him that well, but I'd always watch him. And to see where he is today, I mean, he's doing really well. I was able to go out there the other day just because I had to go, obviously, after Aiden crashed and figure out the bike situation. But, you know, their Chance is gearing up for outdoors right now, and watching them, you know, pound out a 30-minute moto on outdoors, he's doing pretty well.
Yeah. He's pretty young too, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's good.
I think he's been setting his, like he said here on the show, setting his goals as far as this year is concerned with Supercross. But I think in the long haul, He's gonna be somebody.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, no, he's doing good.
I mean, everybody's somebody. You know what I mean? I could see that guy in the future. You know, chasing a championship for sure.
Yeah. So we talk about food, nutrition, race days, some of the stigmatisms that go with race days. On a lot of these episodes that we've had, we've talked about it with Drew and Aiden, Chance, Jet. We always talk about music. Music is the one thing that Sugar and I, we love music. I mean, anybody that's been around me knows I've got a Bluetooth speaker in every vehicle.
1,000%.
I keep one everywhere I go, in the golf cart, in the buggy, whatever. You know, Shane and I both, Shane's way better than I am, but play some guitar and, you know, just always had a passion for music. What is the playlist look like for Garrett Hoffman?
Dude, I got a bunch of them. I got one called The Killers, which is all like death stuff, like some heavy metal, which I don't tap into that one much, but I listen to literally everything.
Yeah.
Whether it's, I have a couple playlists called All Smiles, which is all like alternative stuff, which is all like, if I'm in a bad mood, dude, it's all happy music.
Yeah.
Like, I get it all laid out, but music is great for everything. Like, well, it gets you through.
So you have it broken down for what you want to get out of the music.
Oh, for sure. So I have.
It's got to be by the mood, right?
Yeah. So I got a country one, which is called Yee Yee. And then I got a rap one, and I got alternative, then I got the death stuff, and then I got just one for reggae, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, I got all genres.
Well, so you're across the board.
Dude, I got all
That's
of
awesome.
It.
That's
the same way I am.
Because, like, you go to a party, or you go to a function, whatever, and people play music, like, there's all different genres out there that people listen to. Some people are stuck to one, but...
Well, it's I was RJ Hampshire today sitting on the beach, you know, if anybody looks at his Instagram, you know, you can see that he's on the beach over there and probably near his hometown, Newport Richey, something like that. But but if I'm headed to the beach, I'm listening to more reggae, island stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Some like slightly stupid.
And, oh, yeah.
Yeah. If I'm you know, headed to somewhere I need to get amped up, then we put in some rock in there. If we're headed more a party vibe or something like that, I put some rap on. And then, you know, my go-to, my number one is always country. So I like some of the newer country that's out there right now, but I don't really like what's on the radio. So I put more my own twist on my own playlist. Like on Spotify.
I'll tell you what this guy's into, and it's always like the same situation, you know, like when we're out and about, like hanging out, partying, whatever. We don't really party, like we're not 15, but he loves turning on his 90s booty shaking music.
He loves it, dude.
I'm like, yeah, dude, we heard it last night, like the whole playlist.
Yeah. Dude, I got two different. I got my rap playlist, like the mainstream, like what everyone listens to now.
Yeah.
Then I got old school rap, which got like Eazy-E, got all those. There's got Tupac. Then I got country, which is, that's just my mainstream country, which you hear on the radio. I don't really listen to that one much, but I got another one, which is like Woody Morgan. It's got everyone, like the old, like kind of like South country, like
more
the,
outlaw country.
Yeah, outlaw type stuff. Yeah. It's
super little sick. Cody Jinks and throw that in there, but. No, I'm the same way, and I just think that music always brings you around. Like if you're outside, you know, barbecue, and then you got this playlist. If you're, you know, if you're headed to the gym, you got the stuff that's going to amp you up. You know, I mean, you're not going to go do a 2-hour cycle and be listening to, you know, some slow country song.
yeah, I got all of it. I don't know. I've never been picky.
No, that's good, man. That's good. Well, it'll be interesting to see what that doc appointment does there on May 5th, because that could kind of go both ways. Whether you're doing outdoors. Maybe not, depending on the hardware situation. But even, let's just kind of go both ways with that, hypothetically, either way. You get the hardware out, you're going to have a surgery, you're going to have some recovery time.
Right.
So outdoors would be a no-go?
No-go, yeah.
And then you would be gear up, ramp up for East Coast 24?
For sure.
And then if the hardware or the surgery is, you know, no, you need to leave it in, you're going to try and do some outdoor?
Yeah, I would assume that I would do some. If I do get it out, my plan is to get it out second or third week in May so that I can possibly come back for Butch Creek for the hometown race.
Yeah.
If not, because, I mean, I'm a privateer. We don't make a crap ton of money, you know what I mean? So I think at home I have a track at my house. I think while I'm on crutches or whatever, I don't know how long I'm not supposed to be weight bearing for, but I think I'm going to post on Instagram, be like, hey, I have a couple like little kids, 50, 65, a couple dads that are wanting me to train, because there's not many people in Maryland that does it.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking about getting like a group of 5 or 6 kids at my house, have a school once a week just to make a little bit of money and help some kids out locally. I mean, be something fun to do. I've never done it. I've learned a lot from RT. I feel like I could do the fundamentals pretty well.
Yeah, pass on a little bit of knowledge.
Yeah, just a little bit. But. Yeah. And then if not, I mean, bring on outdoors, bring on the Sufferfest.
So either way that goes, you know, possibly do some outdoors if the surgery doesn't happen, or if you do the surgery, no outdoors. But either way, the goal is going to be 2024 East Coast Supercross.
For sure. Yeah, I'm going to be racing Supercross next year for sure.
Yeah, there you go. All right, cool. Well, we keep on with that. But
have you always been on Yamahas?
No, so I rode, I was on Suzuki up until 2018. 2018, I switched to Yamaha after January 1st. I switched. I was on Suzuki for like 6 years. All throughout, after I got on 65, I got on 85. I rode Suzuki all throughout. And then I rode for the amateur team. It wasn't Bar X, but it was a little Suzuki amateur team that Tim Castron hooked me up with. He hooked me up with a couple bikes and stuff like that, some contingency and stuff. But, which I really like Suzuki's. They're solid bikes. And now everyone after Kenny, you know, he's going after it. Everyone's buying them. But, I love Suzuki so much, but I switched to Yamaha, which just a little bit more power.
Yeah. It seems like Yamaha puts out a pretty damn good package.
Just for privateers.
For quite a few years now, you know, it's been pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good bike. Like, you can go buy it off the Sherwin Ford, throw suspension and the exhaust, and you can. There's a guy, Brighton Carroll, who doesn't have, like, much engine work at all, if any. He's got a pipe and he goes out, makes night shows. He doesn't.
There's plenty of guys out there right now that are doing stuff on almost stock bikes.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I one of them, I think it was it Seattle or was it Detroit? I think it was Moran's that pulled the whole shot in both his.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Was it his heat and the LCQ or
and the main? He pulled the main event.
Yeah, the main event. Yeah, he's on a bone stock bike. Bone stock.
That's a testament to what kind of product these manufacturers are putting out. That's pretty good stuff.
Yeah, I mean it's crazy to me, man. But as far as that goes, Garrett, do you watch the races? Like, are you a fan of the races and keep up with, you know, the top guys? And
yeah, I mean, I am a fan. I have a hard time of when I hurt my knee after Tampa, I didn't watch the next weekend. Like, if I wasn't there, I couldn't race. Like, it kind of sucked. I was bummed out.
Bummed you out, yeah.
But, dude, when it switches West Coast, I'm a full fan. Like, I'm for sure watching qualifying. I'm watching, seeing where everyone stacks up, see who makes a show and not.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting down on the couch watching at 7, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, whatever it turns on. Dude, I'm watching.
Yeah. I just always get curious. You know, you get the riders that, like you said, it's such a grind. It's such a job that if I'm not in it, I'm not watching it.
Right,
and then you get
right.
the guys that are... I'm a huge fan of the sport, no matter what, if I'm in it or not. I'm watching it three times. I'm watching it live. I'm watching it the next day.
For sure.
Chad would watch it right after it happened.
Yeah.
Like, literally go in the bus and turn the race on.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know what it was for, but, like, he just wanted to, like, watch the race. And
yeah. Well, I was talking with Chiz and Benny Bloss the other day when I went out to the compound after Aiden crashed, and we were sitting there just, you know, kind of chit-chatting, and I know Chiz was talking about, like, he usually on his flight, like, he'll watch it on his flight, then he'll get home, he'll watch it when he gets home, and then, like, 3 days later, he'll watch it again.
Well, for sure. Ronnie tries to get me to watch it, like, as soon as I get in, you know, next day on the flight, he tries to get me to watch it. And the reason for it is because when you're racing, you know, you already have to, if you had a bad race, you want to put that in a box, tuck it away, don't ever look at it again, focus on next weekend, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So while it's still fresh in your brain, you can look at the mistakes you made, acknowledge them, all right, sounds good, next week I won't do that, tuck it away, I'm done. Like, I'm not going to focus on the negativity.
Yeah, well, you can't change anything in the past.
No, for sure.
You know, that's the thing that I would try to explain to any rider right now is, you know, not getting hung up in the past.
Right.
You know, you can't change anything that happened yesterday.
No, exactly.
The only thing you could do is move forward and making sure that mind frame stays, you know, where you need to be, that you're hitting your marks, you're doing your task, and you put everything out there on the track. Because, you, like you said, man, there's so many factors that go into it. You know, I know your dad travels to a lot of the races with you. You know, when you got so many people putting so much into this around you, you know, you got to make sure you're doing your part too.
It gets hard.
Yeah.
It puts a lot of weight on your shoulders. Because I know, like, my dad's a general contractor, so he does a lot of commercial stuff. He'll build a lot of Dollar Generals and PNC banks. So, he does well for himself, but he's not able to toss around, like, all this coin, you know what I mean? Like, he doesn't have, you know, stuff bedded down, you know?
Yeah.
So I know what he's spending. I know what it's taking. He's buying flights for me, my mechanic, my mom, and he's driving most of the rounds.
Yeah.
You know, he can fly, but he sometimes wants to camper there. So I'm like, all right, look, you wanted to drive all the way to, you know, the next round. Like, I understand that. Banging for you to, you know, bring the camera and let me chill there, but it's super expensive. It gets pretty. It gets in your head for sure. I mean,
yeah, it's a lot.
Maybe that's because I'm a head case, but it is tough.
It's got to be tough on a young man like yourself to where, like, you know, that people are putting out money and time, and then if you have a bad weekend, which they do happen,
yeah, they do.
You kind of feel like crap afterwards.
Dude, after Detroit, dude, it was tough for me because. On paper, it doesn't look that bad. I think I got 13th in the LCQ, but, dude, I just rode so tight. I didn't execute my corners. My whoops were my biggest downfall. Like, I just wasn't very confident on the bike. And we got home, and, like, he was just – he was so – like, he wasn't mad at me, but he was disappointed, and that's what hurt the most. Like, he wasn't speaking as much to me as he usually would. It was just a really quiet ride home, and I was like, damn, this I need to go faster next weekend.
Yeah, you know, when your dad's quiet, there's something up.
Well, listen, right. Man, like, I think most people, I'm not going to speak for everybody, but I think most people, especially a male, we want to impress our parents, specifically your dads, you know? So there's a lot to that. You know, I don't ever want to let my dad down because any of those, you know, well, we have to have a talk moments.
Yeah, it's not,
you know, those are always brutal, you know? So trying to impress, you know, your family and specifically your dad and make them proud. But at the same time, if you're putting in the effort and you're doing everything that you can do, then I respect that.
Right.
You know, and I think that's the same thing I ask out of my guys is, you know, I need them to know how much we're putting into this because that's the level I expect back. I mean, if I'm waking up at 4 a.m. to go do something, or if I'm putting out this much effort, then I want you to put out that much effort.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, 'cause it shouldn't be fair for me to have to put out the effort and then you do not. And then, you know, if they show up to a race, and that's one thing that I always appreciate is, you know, watching the boys put in the effort, put in the work, try. And if you give me everything that you've got, I can't be mad at that.
That's all you can give. That's what my dad always tells me. He says, if you try, if you give it your best, I can't ask anymore.
Yeah. I just can't. I can't do, you know, you see some of these guys, specifically when we were in the amateur stuff, where you'd have somebody like pull off the track, you know, because they went down on the first turn, or, you know, they'd pull off the track because, oh, I'm not in a good enough spot. It doesn't matter. No, it matters. You're going to finish that race. Like, get back out there and finish the race. Yeah, I mean,
your integrity matters more than that, dude.
Yeah. So there's a lot to it. But, I mean, you got a lot going through your head, too. I mean, you're trying to figure out, you're on the racetrack trying to get these lines nailed down.
Yeah.
And you have split-second decisions that happen on there. So, you know, it's good for you to be conscious of that and know it, but also go out there and execute.
Right. Yeah. I think the worst part was is after Detroit, like, we went on a three-week break. So I was really upset that, like, we ended the note not bad, but just, like, not as great as I wanted to, you know, pull it off. So he came down last week and watched me ride, and he was like, oh, yeah, you're making improvements. I'm like, phew. That's a little bit of weight left off my shoulder now. Like, you got to see me ride since then. Like, that wasn't the Garrett Hoffman that you see and you see videos of and, you know, watched races the weekend before. But,
yeah,
it was rough. Like, it sucked.
Well, as far as being a fan of the sport, you know, and watching any of the races, I mean, is there anything that stands out to you as far as this year has gone? I mean, starting at, you know, A1 back in January on both the West and the East. I mean, you know, we see the Lawrence, the brothers that, you know, we are around all the time, and, you know, the success that they're having. But even in the 450 class, I mean, AP almost winning the race and going down. What a heartbreaker for him.
It was.
You know, I mean, I almost cried sitting there watching that because I'm such a fan of AP. That's my son's probably favorite rider right now because he got a picture with him in Tampa. So, you know, just anything like that that stands out to you?
I want to talk about the AP thing. Like, when he crashed, now, obviously, split-second decisions. I'm not dogging the guy, but the way he tucked his head, dude, was scary.
Yeah.
Like, when he was going in, it was ghost riding the whip, when he tucked his neck like that and straight just bodied it to the back of his head, dude, like, that scared me.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't, I don't know.
Probably the most raw interview ever right afterwards.
I mean, from your question, for some reason this year seems like the best racing I've seen in a long time.
Yeah.
In all aspects, both the Coast Lights and the 450s, it's like, I haven't been this excited to watch every weekend in a long time. Like, I don't know what it is, but like, dudes are racing like gnarly now.
Hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I think you got even like in the 450 side, you know, between Eli and then Coop. And I mean, I love Coop. Coop's a very good friend of mine. I talk to him all the time. I did some stuff for him the other day. And I did not expect Coop to be in the title hunt.
Neither did I.
I did not. And I'm not knocking him in any way, shape, or form. No. That's just my personal opinion. And I love the dude. I mean, I think he's a great person, but I personally did not expect him to be there. And now he's there, and now I'm like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, he got that first win, and I think a lot of times it, like, flips a switch.
Yeah.
To where, like, okay, it's time to go. And obviously the team's been working hard and trying to get that bike really good. And
I think that's the reason why my expectation wasn't that high is because I think last year that, you know, they struggled with the bike quite a bit.
Right.
And, I mean, he's made that known a couple times, and I'm not knocking the brand by any way, shape, or form, but I think they have, you know, made some changes to the bike and made it better. And
yeah, I mean, look at AP too.
You know,
like they're way more comfortable on the bike, and I feel like Cooper's in his head, like as far as being mentally strong, is always there in the hunt.
Oh, when he gets confidence, man.
Yeah, it's not the fact
just
that
just like the he whole.
Dude, it's blood in the water for that guy.
If you can
see him, he's such a dog.
The going back and doing the finger over the finish line jumps, I mean, that's pure confidence right there. When he gets the confidence going, he's tough to beat.
Did you watch the press conference after that?
Uh-uh.
Somebody asked him about it, and he said, honestly, you know, I thought, you know, it would if I could do something to shake up Chase, like I was.
Yeah.
And he literally said it was like, seemed to work.
Yeah.
Because that night he did a front flip.
Yeah.
The guy literally coupe. I'm talking about, like, he thrives off that little bit of controversy.
Yeah.
Or likes to screw with people and get in their head. I mean,
yeah,
that's part of racing, yeah, in my opinion. Like, if you can mentally screw up somebody outside of the track a little bit, you know, and like get in their head a little bit, like, Coop's good at that.
Well, and I think, like you said, Garrett just mentioned it. You know, I think he did do it. And you look at Chase. I mean, Chase has got to be one of the fastest guys on the track every single weekend.
Oh, 1,000.
I mean, that guy, his speed is incredible. But it's a reoccurring theme right now.
Right.
If you know, he's constantly going down, whether it's just a simple washout, whether it's a full front flip. I mean, it's something.
Yeah.
But the speed of that guy is unbelievable. You know, and it's to have him out there, you know, in the excitement, and then, you know, Eli just being the true champ. I mean, just grinding it out, you know, obviously tying, I think right now tied with James for overall race wins with 50 and passing Ricky this year. I mean, you know, that guy's just an animal. And I think that's why it's so exciting this year, is that you've got Eli, you've got Chase, you've got Coop. But then you get Kenny that throws in, and then you get AP that throws in, and it's like, wait a second. You got 5-6 guys that could win tonight? That's pretty strong.
I think Barsha has been doing pretty good, too.
Yeah, Barsha has been throwing it out there, and his controversy with, you know, El Hombre. You know, when those two guys get around each other, you're always kind of glued to the TV, you know, when they're in the same section of the track together. So, I mean, I think that's why it's exciting. And even in the lights class, I mean, you just had this whole big, you know, Deegan Jordan Smith issue, you know, and I don't know if some of that was trying to be mental, like similar to a coup, you know, where Deegan's trying to say, hey, man, you know, like, I'm not just going to roll over for you.
Yeah, for sure.
And that whole thing goes down, and it's, you know, we've talked about it already on the episodes before, but, you know, it's tough from a team owner standpoint when you got two guys, you know, going at it against each other that are on the same team. But either way, you know, I mean, I think that's why it's exciting. I mean, it's cool to see the Lawrences, you know, doing as well as they are right now, both Jet and Hunter. Wish them the most success as possible as they can to continue through this thing. And, you know, RJ's been up there too, and he's been on the show before, and it's good to see him being a local Florida boy going out there doing his thing. So, you know, Colin's had a great year.
Yeah, Colin's been doing real good.
You know,
really,
I mean,
for him.
I think he's kind of hitting his goals for this year. I mean, his idea was to come out this year and be a top 10 guy, and he's doing that.
That's what he's doing, yeah.
You know, so it's cool to see people accomplish their goals and get through, you know, some of those things. So that's exciting. But for us right now, as far as the Future MX team goes, you know, Cole's coming back from the injury. We talked about that. Aiden had a little bobble. We'll skip Atlanta. We'll do Nashville. And then after that, we're going 450s.
Yeah.
So we're going to do some 450s for outdoors. We've acquired them this week. We got a practice bike and a race bike for the boys. And Garrett, you and I kind of talked about that a little bit earlier, you know, trying to be competitive on a 250 in the outdoors, you know, where they just, the track conditions just rob the power.
Right.
I mean, for us, you know, and I know you guys both have your own opinions, but for us, we decided that it would make more sense for us to race a 450.
Right.
Because we can essentially run a stock motor, you know, a little bit of stuff done to the motor, an exhaust, an ECU, and suspension.
Right.
And be somewhat competitive.
No, I agree. I mean, 250 class on outdoors is, that's where you figure out where the power to weight ratio and the power advantage is gone.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I would race a 450, but I'm 138 pounds. I think it'll muscle me around.
Yeah.
Like, I would have to beef up for sure. I like the 250, but it's hard on them. I had a 450 for practice because I would just blow them up left and right throughout the weeks. And then wouldn't be able to ride for, you know, a couple of days, go to the race, and I'm, like, still fresh. I'm, like, because I don't ride that good when I'm fresh. You know, I'd rather ride more in the week, show up Saturday and race. If I show up Saturday and I'm, like, super fresh, haven't rode for 3 days, I feel like I'm rusty. You know, I got to knock the rust off.
Yeah.
But
we did that last year. We practiced on a 450 and raced a 250.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, it seemed to work out pretty well.
It's just the wear and tear on the bike.
It seems like, too, in the 450 class, like, there's less guys trying to qualify.
I would agree.
You know what I mean? I mean, there's a lot more young guys out there that are trying to qualify in the 250 class. Like, you might have better chances to make something happen on a 450 in the outdoors.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the Morans, you know, situation. I mean, these 450s, I mean, are you really putting them to their potential?
No.
You know what I mean?
I think Chase is putting that bike past its potential because it's going so fast. Maybe that's the problem. I don't know. But no, hell no.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, you get people like Moran's that talk about it, and you know, even Carnell's mentioned it before and stuff like that. You know, I mean, you could take a stock 450 and do some minor upgrades to it and make it a competitive bike.
For sure.
A 250, you got to do quite a bit to it, yeah. You know, to be comparable to those factory bikes, you know, out there. I mean, if you're going on the line and you got a Star bike sitting next to you, you got to have some juices on to you. I mean, you got to be ready to go. Yeah, so
it's just super expensive.
Yeah, and I think that's the reason why, you know, for us, it is budget. And, you know, instead of having to go get $5,000 motors one after another after right. another, you can keep essentially a stock motor. You know, we run a great we've got the Git ECU. I don't know if you run ECUs or not, but we've got the Git ECU, and you throw an exhaust on it, and then we've got our Racetech suspension right now, and you put that package together on a 450, you can be competitive.
For sure.
Yeah.
So that's our goal. That's the game plan, is get through outdoors and then figure out what we could do next year. I mean, it all, you know, as always in this sport and with everybody, it all boils down to budget, man.
For sure.
You know, you got to have a budget. You got to have the funding to be able to go racing. And, you know, right now we're committed to doing the outdoors. And then after outdoors, we got to figure out what we're going to do, you know, whether we've got the budget and the funding there to go, you know, do something next year, or whether we don't, you know, we'll map that out and cross that bridge when we get there. But
I'll keep working hard. You know, and trying to make as much money as I can to help you out, RJ.
Yeah, well, keep wearing those tank tops, baby.
Hey, if I got paid for looking good, we go racing the whole season. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no doubt. Well, Garrett, who are some of the people that are helping you right now? I mean, who do you want to thank while you're on the episode, and people that do stuff for you?
So my biggest sponsors right now, Stape Suspension, Dynamic Engines, they're helping me out a lot, Fly Racing. My engines are super good, like, this is for sure the best platform I've had all year. It's my starts have been good through qualifying. Had a good heat race starts, kind of throw it away in the heat race if I crashed in the sand like an idiot. But
yeah,
mom, dad helped me out a lot. Blender Power Sports, Fly for sure. Oakley's been helping me out a lot. Aaron's a really good dude.
Oh, he's awesome.
Aaron's sick. Yeah, he's been helping me a lot.
Yeah. No, it's good. I appreciate those guys too, man, and everything that they do for us. You know, with Oakley and Aaron specifically, but always keeping you dialed in. But no, man, that's good. It's good. You got a good program there going, and hopefully we can figure out something with the surgery and determine what you're going to do for outdoor so we can follow along and go from there. But I just want to remind everybody real quick, episode 26 brought to you by Premium Outdoor Products, located over in Clearmont, Florida, right off of Highway 27. They are open Monday through Saturday. They have outdoor furniture, outdoor kitchen, any quality USA made products that you need for your outdoor space. They can make it happen. So if you go over and check out the folks at Premium Outdoor Products, make sure you mention Future MX. Let them know that that you heard about it on the podcast or on the YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you listen or watch, and let them know about it. So that way they know that we sent you there. But outside of that, Sugar Shane.
Yes, sir.
What else we got? Anything?
Just excited to get the racing back going, you know?
Yeah, got a little weekend off here. We didn't get to watch any racing this weekend, so we had to take the weekend off, but we still get a podcast out for you guys. And then
super stoked about going to Nashville.
That's going to be fun.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people going to that race.
Yep.
A lot. Almost everybody that I've talked to. I mean, I've even got some friends of mine that are taking time off of work and stuff that are going to that race. So
I just want to, you know, if I'm going to Nashville, I want Garrett to at least, you know, hey, let's get in the main.
Make a main event.
Let's get in the main.
That'll be super.
That'll make my
super simple.
That'll make my weekend. You know, that'd be cool.
That'll be sweet. No, I'll try extra hard for that one.
Good. Yeah, hey Garrett, just put it in the main. No big deal.
Yeah, no stress. No stress.
Easy. Well, we're gonna be rooting for you at that one. We will be there, like we said. You know, my wife is coming up. Shane, I think your wife's coming up too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's quite a few of us coming up and gonna enjoy that weekend. We talk about music earlier in the episode. Oh, yeah. But man, Nashville,
that's the heart of it.
That's all part of it. Live music, live country music too, man.
Are you bringing cowboy boots?
Probably.
You're gonna have to
bring some ostrich or something.
I mean,
rattlesnake skins or something.
I got some really nice ones. I didn't know what we were wearing. I'll call you the week before and see what our outfits are, you know.
Yeah, we'll plan our outfits.
Yes, please.
Probably a team shirt with a cowboy hat, big belt buckle.
I don't know if I'll do the hat.
Oh, yeah, we got to do
it. At least the boots.
No, got to do it.
Boots and short shorts.
It's Nashville, Shane.
Boots and short shorts. Yeah.
No, man, we got boots and short shorts. Is that where? Oh, great.
Yep.
Great. All right, make sure you don't have a team shirt with you. No, it would be fun, though, to map that out. We would get a little little laugh out of that. But no, there's a lot of people going to that one. I'm looking forward to it and just watching the remainder of this season map out, man. You know, yeah. See if these Lawrence boys can bring it home for the dog pound, and you know, good luck to them and everything that goes along with it. But anything else, Garrett? Anything else you want to talk about?
No, I think I'm pretty solid.
Wrapping her up there? Tyler, anything else you got?
Nothing.
All right. Well, let's...
Come on, Tyler. You ain't got nothing?
No, nothing.
Thanks for the input. Well, we're going to wrap it up. Episode 26 of Future MX Radio. We hope you guys make sure that you subscribe, listen, share it, tell your friends about it, spread the word so we can gain some followers here. We'll keep on keeping on. We appreciate you listening, and thank you, and look forward to the next one. Thank you, Garrett.
Yeah, thank you, boys. Thanks,
appreciate it.